Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. I'm your host, William M.O. Hopefully, Mac will come on the other line. I don't know what's up. You know, he might be oversleep, might have overslept or something. But, you know, hopefully he'll be able to call in and be able to come on the show. So I'm guessing he's, you know, he overslept. But in any case, it looks like I'm flying solo, so looks like it's just me and you guys. So, you know, the number is 718. I'm trying to remember the number. Let me try to do the number in my head. 917-388-4189, I think that's what it's called. Where is it? Let me see. 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So, you know, if you call in, you know, we're going to talk sports entertainment as usual. You know, we're going to lead off with some MLB playoff hunt, you know, with the Mets trying to make it to the playoffs. You know, I'll give my thoughts on that. The Yankees being officially eliminated a few days ago. Talk about, you know, NBA news with the Knicks. You know, basically, you know, putting it out there that they're gunning for the Cavs and, of course, LeBron James try to, you know, overthrow the reigning champs. We'll also talk about the Giants and Jets and also, you know, talk a little bit about the Clash of the Champions pay-per-view event and, you know, much more. But most importantly, You know, I want to thank you guys for, you know, listening to the show, as always, and just want to thank you guys for being on the show. So, looks like I'm flying solo today right now, unless Matt calls in any moment now, but Sam tells me he overslept, but, you know, it happens to the best of them. So, let's go to the Mets, and, basically, the Mets are in a situation, a dire situation where they got to win at least one of these last two games, you know, to solidify their home field advantage right here. You know, fortunately for the Mets, they won final score 5-1 over the Phillies, the first game of the three-game series. Jay Bruce. He's the big story. He's hit three home runs in three. You know, he hit a home run in three games, and he's finally performing to the player that Mets acquired at the training deadline. Literally the last day, I believe it was August 1st was the training deadline because July 31st fell on a Sunday, so. That's why the training deadline was on August 1st instead of the usual July 31st. Basically, you know, he's finally producing. You know, he's hitting home runs. He's knocking RBIs. I mean, as you all remember, prior to the Mets trade, he was leading the league in RBIs. So it's good to see Jay Bruce, you know, finally wake up. You know, these past couple of days, he clearly looks like someone must have hypnotized him and think that he's still a Cincinnati Reds because he's starting to perform like how he did, you know, with the Reds, and kudos to him. You know, he's very vile for the Mets to, you know, try to shock the world because basically all their pitching has been decimated by injuries. You know, as you all know, Matt Harvey's out for the rest of the year. Jacob DeGrom's out for the rest of the year. Trying to think who else. Steven Matz, he's gone for the rest of the year. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. If you would have told me that before this season started, that Mets have the potential to make it to the playoffs, basically minus those guys, and I'm not even counting David Wright, Flores, who he's had some clutch hits this year, even though he hasn't really hit that well this year overall, but he's had some clutch hits lately. He hasn't played since he had that collision at the plate, I think with Pruszynski, if I'm not mistaken, about, a week or two or so. But, yeah, the Mets, they're in a dire need of getting a playoff win. But before I get into they started this week, after the unfortunate passing of Jose Fernandez, man, the phenom, the young phenom, dead at the age of 24, man. I mean, my heart goes out to him and his to his family, man. 24 years old, and his life got cut short so quickly, man. He was supposed to originally pitch Saturday, but then Diamondly changed it for him to face the Mets on Monday, and unfortunately, we all know what happened. He got killed, him and two other people, got killed in a bowling accident approximately around 3 a.m. in the morning. So, as a result, the Braves and the Marlins canceled their game for Sunday. So Monday night, it was, basically, Jose Fernandez was scheduled to face the Mets that day, but unfortunately, because of his passing, that threw that plan out right out the window, So either way you look at it, Monday was going to be all about Jose Fernandez, but unfortunately, the focus was on him on an unforeseeable way, Guy was a great talent, man. It's really sad. I mean, the franchise, him and Stanton, man. They were clearly the franchise players. And then you could throw in Yelich, almost on that level, because Yelich, that guy could flat out hit. But to see the Marlin players, get emotional, the Mets players as well. I mean, it was really sad. Monday, the Mets and the Marlins paid their respect, to Jose Fernandez. I say, kudos to both teams. They handled it very well. The Marlins, they all wore a number 16 jersey and Fernandez, and kudos to the Marlins for retiring his jersey. This tragedy, it reminds me of two incidents that unforeseeable incidents that happened in New York baseball history. Of course, one that comes to mind is 1979 with Terman Munson dying in a tragic plane accident, that year. And, the Yankee players were just, they mourned his loss. Everybody, the whole city mourned his loss, because Terman Munson, man, he was the glue of that Bronx Zoo team, they had in, ever since the, 77-78 championship, Yankee teams, that had, famously had, Catfish Hunter, Reggie Jackson, of course, Willie Randolph, I'm trying to think who else, Lou Piniella, I mean, the list goes on and on. They have, Chris Chambliss, all those guys, Bucky Dent, they had a great Yankee team. And, unfortunately in 79, Terry Munson, he was on the plane, flying the plane, and he crashed. And, his mark has been, felt to this day with the Yankees, and sad, and obviously sad. And another New York moment, Jose Fernandez remind me of is the 9/11. Who would have foreseen, such a horrendous attack on American soil, or any soil really, and thousands of lives lost their life. And 10 days later after that attack, Piazza won, hit arguably his biggest home run of his career, his most memorable home run, which made the Mets beat the Braves, that day. I think the final score was 3-2. But yeah, I mean, just like that game, just like the 9/11 game, that was played 10 days later, with Piazza winning, obviously the Braves admitted that they didn't mind losing that game because, uplifted the city, uplifted America, after a horrible tragedy, seeing the Mets win, the fans were able to have, a brief moment of happiness and some sort of normalcy after, that horrific attack. And, coming to the Monday game versus the Marlins, I had a feeling it would be a similar kind of thing, somewhat. Obviously, you can't, they are apples and oranges, but, they're both two unforeseen tragedies. So, I had a strong feeling that the Marlins were going to beat upon the Mets, in honor of Jose Fernandez, a guy who, during his career, being the ace of the Marlins, I honestly can't remember one time he lost to the Mets. I mean, he flat out dominated the Mets throughout his career. And, it was a very touching game, Dee Gordon, a guy who didn't have any home runs, he hit his his first home run of the year, I should say. And while he was running around the bases in tribute of Jose Fernandez, he was beside himself. He was crying around the bases, and his whole team was consoling him. And it was a very, very, very sad, very sad and touching moment, having, seeing Dee Gordon, lose his, lose control like that, because, obviously that was his teammate, his friend, and everybody on the team, the Marlins, they were feeling it, it was just a sad situation, and, at the end of the game, after the Marlins won 7-3, they all threw their hats onto the field, onto the field, and it was a very sad, very sad moment, And then the following 2 days, the Mets, they would win those games, and the series, the Mets, they handled it well, they, obviously, Jay Bruce erupting that. Definitely righted the Mets ship, after the heartbreaking game on Monday. And Syndergaard, he bounced back from his previous horrible start. The two remaining games, and most importantly, Jay Bruce, he was he's been producing, and that's why the Mets are in this hunt. And then Saturday night, you know, the Mets beat up on the Braves, no, not the Braves, rather the Phillies. And as a result, you know, Cardinals won 7-0, I think it was, on Saturday night. Following, they won on Friday night on a horrible umpire call, which, you know, the umpires didn't see the ground rule double. Someone hit a ground rule double, and you know, they didn't see it. So the winning run was supposed to be remain on third base, but the umpire didn't see it. They were field, and the Reds manager took too long to, you know, the call. The Reds stole a game, and because of that, the Mets couldn't clinch on Saturday night. So Mets are going to try to clinch later today, you know, this afternoon, and they need to win. They need to win to clinch, to win, or Cardinals lost. They lose them to solidify the top spot, you know, the wild card. And Giants, as we speak, Giants are you know, are currently playing on the West Coast, obviously. I believe against the Dodgers, my memory served me right. So, yeah, barring something unforeseen, the Mets should be battling the Giants to open the first round, you know, the wild card, the one game playoff between the wild card teams, you know. So it should be interesting. You know, Mets will most likely battle the Giants or the Cardinals in that one game playoff. And you know, the Mets, you know, they're defying the odds. You know, the offense has ignited them. You know, Reyes, Cabrera, and Cespedes. I mean, that's been the winning combination for the Mets, really. They've probably lost maybe 3 or 4 games, probably, since all 4 of those guys are in the lineup, batting 1, 2, 3 after another. Granderson, you know, heating up lately. You know, they're a different team now. And who would have thought Mets would have been in the playoff hunt with, you know, those starting pitchers hurt, and David Wright, and all these key guys being hurt and missing significant time. So, you know, kudos to the Mets. You know, they're still in the hunt, and you gotta believe. So, you know, shifting gears, Yankees, you know, they got eliminated on Thursday night. You know, when they were honoring, they won the game, but you know, basically, it's a little too late. You know, they obviously honored David Ortiz in his final game of the, at Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, you know, congratulations to David Ortiz. You know, he had a phenomenal career. And ever since he's been on the Red Sox since 2003, you know, the Red Sox won 3 championships. You know, they lost that ALCS to the Yankees. But ever since then, the Red Sox have been getting the better of the Yankees, you know, most notably in 2004, you know, when the Red Sox cowboyed up and ended the curse, the 1918 curse of not winning a championship. So, you know, congratulations to David Ortiz. You know, he rides off into the sunset, and Yankee fans don't have to worry about him hitting a home run against them anymore. After Thursday's game. But shifting gears to the Jets, and you know, they have a bad break. You know, that before they battle you know, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, they're going to have to deal with not having Eric Decker, because he has a partially torn, you know, a ligament, So, you know, that's a bad break, you know, no pun intended, obviously. And basically, you know, they're going to try to rebound from that horrible game they had against the Kansas City Chiefs last week when they lost, I'm thinking, what was the final score, 24-3. And, man, I don't even have to tell you how bad Ryan Fitzpatrick was. I mean, six interceptions. I mean, what more do I need to say, man? He needs to bounce back. The whole team needs to bounce back because they were atrocious on every facet of the game. They need to win this game. They really need to beat up on the Seahawks or else their season is basically done. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, they own the division already. I mean, they're leading the division. They don't even have Tom Brady playing yet. And they're leading the division as always. I mean, before the preseason, they're always winning the division. So it's like, it's another year, man. It's just, the Jets are going to have to try to get a wild card spot. So it is what it is, but they got to win. They got to win tomorrow, so, you know, to even up this season. And then, shifting gears with the Giants, they had a horrible loss against the Redskins, and they're gonna have to. And as you know, Odell Beckham, you know, he's having some. He was really PO'd, you know, in the sidelines. So, you know, it was a tough, heartbreaking loss, man. That's, you know, the divisional rival Redskins. I mean, the Giants have to try to come back against the Vikings, this weekend. I mean, there's really nothing more to say about that. You know, both of the New York teams, you know, they gotta bounce back from these horrible losses, and if they want any chance of going to the postseason, you know, so. We'll see what happens with both teams in the future. And then shifting gears with the Knicks. You know, Knicks are trying to get back to the playoffs for the first time in 2013. They got a new revamped team. They got Noah. They got Derrick Rose. Courtney Lee. Brandon Jennings. The list goes on and on and on. And Noah, he was honest. He knows for the Knicks to be, be a championship caliber team, they got to go through the Cleveland Cavaliers and of course LeBron James, you know. And he basically admitted that they're targeting the Cavaliers because Cavaliers are the reigning champ and they have the best player in the game, LeBron James. And, LeBron James, he has a unique situation going there, defending champs. And the Cavaliers are off their first ever championship in franchise history. And, of course, it's the first title that city of Cleveland had a championship since the Cleveland Browns of 64. So now, you know, LeBron James, he's trying to will that team for them not to be complacent just because they're on the top of the mountain, you know, not to lose that hunger that got them the title. So he's in rarefied air of trying to, you know, keep that franchise together. But, you know, he has that experience with the Heat. He's going to bring that championship, back-to-back championship experience that he got with the Heat with Cleveland. So they're in good hands. But hopefully, you know, the Knicks will have an answer for them. And then not to mention there's the Golden State Warriors who have Durant. I mean, that's a team of riches right there. I mean, my goodness, that's a video game team. That's an NBA Jam modern day NBA Jam team. I mean, they're gonna be shooting a lot of threes on fire, man. Scary team. That's another scary team that the Knicks, if they're fortunate in the playoffs, if they can somehow overtake the Cavaliers, which, I mean, that's a miracle within itself. How are they gonna contend with the Warriors? But that's what all the 29 other teams are thinking about, you know, other than obviously, you know, how they're gonna defeat the Warriors. And then you know, obviously the Cleveland's only team that could really stand a chance against that team. But I digress. And then of course you got the Clash of the Champions. And I mean, to me, in my opinion, the Clash of the Champions, you know, nothing outstanding really happened to me. I mean, it happened in my opinion. Everything you basically thought was gonna happen happened. Everybody basically retained the titles. New Day retained the titles against the club, Gallows and Anderson. And as a result, you know, the New Day, they have the title for the tag team titles for over 400 days, and they're trailing the Demolition for the overall record. Even though WWE is hyping them as the longest reigning champions for some reason. Another thing, you know, Charlotte is still the champion. She defeated Bayley and Sasha Banks. No surprise there. But the weird surprise is Cesaro versus Sheamus. That ended in a tie, in a draw. I mean, Cesaro almost paralyzed himself with that top rope dive, which he said he's no longer gonna do, and I don't blame him because he landed on his head basically. He could have been seriously hurt, you know what I mean? So I don't blame him one bit for not doing those top rope spots anymore. You know, he's already over with the fans. He doesn't need to do that. Sacrifice himself, you know, get himself hurt, seriously hurt. You know, unfortunately, that match ended in a draw. Made no sense. They were hyping it up this whole time, and then now they're having a storyline that they're gonna be tag team. They're gonna compete for the tag team. So, you know, look for them to. He's, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro are gonna form a tag team, and most likely upstate, you know, overthrow New Day because nobody can't stop them. And then, trying to think what other matches was there. The United States Championship. You know, you had United States Championship. You had Rusev, the defending champion, versus Roman Reigns, and obviously he finally became United States Champion. You know, he was able to stop Lana's interference. You know, and which resulted in her getting ejected out of you know, so you know, supporting Rusev as always. So it instantly became a one-on-one matchup, and Roman Reigns broke out of the accolade and hit you know, a timely spear, and you know, he's a new United States champion. So congratulations to him. That's the other surprise that happened that night, the draw between Cesaro and Sheamus. Basically, everything else you thought was going to happen, you know, basically happened. And then, you know, you had Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. You know, they had a good match. You know, Chris Jericho interfered a little bit here and there. You know, Kevin Owens, he retained the title, the Universal title, as we expected. So, you know, congrats to him. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, you know, reemergence as a baby face right now. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what goes on Raw this Monday. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And on SmackDown, you know, AJ Styles defeated Dean Ambrose. And after the match, John Cena hit a attitude adjustment on both Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles and held up the title, the WWE title. So, you know, John Cena's hinting that he's going to get the title again, and Tyrek Flair for the most title wins with 16. And you know that's going to happen for sure. Because, you know, John Cena wants to be the face that runs the place again. So, you know, that's worth noting. But, you know, that's basically it. You know, I want to thank you guys for coming, checking out the show. Check out Mac's show, Hi Mac, every Saturdays at 11. Check out this show every Sundays, back on its regular time, Sunday at midnight. Check out my show, Sports Urban Legend, the show you're listening to right now. It'll be at its regular time and day next week. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramo. Macaulay probably overslept, but as you know, it's all good. He'll be back hopefully next week. And I want to thank you guys, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace, and enjoy the games.